The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. And we do that every Tuesday by sharing the stories and advice of those rocking it on the other side. This week, we head to San Francisco and speak with Xanthi Wells. Xanthi is the VP of Global Creative at Pinterest. Recognized as an Ad Age Woman to Watch and Ad Age 40 Under 40 and one of Business Insider's 30 Most Creative Women in Advertising, Xanthi Wells is a creative director with over 19 years of experience, 14 of which she spent at advertising agencies before making the move to Brandside in 2017. She is currently Pinterest VP of Creative, where she leads all creative, concepting, design, experiential, writing, and all content for Pinterest marketing. Previously, Xanthi served as a senior director and global executive creative director for Google Devices and Services based out in Mountain View, California. Xanthi worked in close collaboration with multiple agencies, including Wieden and Kennedy, Swift, Gut, Droga5, 72 and Sunny, in addition to overseeing the Google Devices and Services creative team. So in her tenure at Google, she led her team of 100 plus creatives and producers to international recognition by many, many industry award shows. So this includes Brandside Agency of the Year in both the One Show and Art Directors Club Award shows in May 2022, as well as a Grand Prix in Cannes for Real Tone on Google Pixel. To keep it simple, Xanthi knows a lot. She knows how to make an award-winning campaign. She knows how to succeed in both the brand and agency side of marketing communications. And of course, how you can break into either side. She tells us the crucial lessons from her career and what she is looking for when she is hiring. Learning about Pinterest creative team and Xanthi's role is phenomenal. She is such a fantastic leader and a fantastic human. She tells you how to reach out to her as well in this episode, but if you're following us on LinkedIn and Instagram, which is at Breaking and Entering Pod, I will help you get in touch personally. All you gotta do is reach out. Now, on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast, and as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. Xanthi Wells, welcome to the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
Yes. It's sunny in your background there. I'm jealous of that. Tell us where you're at.
I live in Los Altos, which is a few minutes west of Mountain View. So right outside of San Francisco.
Nice. Love it. It's snowing in Chicago, but that's okay. I'm excited to talk advertising and marketing with you. Are you ready to do that?
I am.
Great. Because you are the VP for Global Creative at Pinterest. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
It's a big title and a great company. So let's dive into that. What does that mean, Xanthi?
Yeah, sure. So I oversee a team of creatives. So I oversee writers, directors, we've got amazing motion designers, conceptual storytellers, kind of everything that you'd find in an internal creative team these days.
So it's like you're an internal in-house agency for Pinterest.
And I'm responsible for all creative output for Pinterest advertising.
And do you work with agencies as well?
Yes, we definitely do. We have a great agency called Uncommon in London. That we work with. We also work with other agencies like Amplify, different partners for different executions we do around the world.
I'm curious then, like, are you selecting those? How does that process work, like, on the other end?
Yeah. Pinterest had an existing relationship with Uncommon when I got here. And I think going forward, I would be part of the decision making with agencies. Mm-hmm. And I'm super happy with them and a lot of our partners. So I think I'm part of a group of people that figure out what the best agency is for a particular project.
Gotcha. And you've been there for how long now?
I think 3 months. I'm still in like under 60 working days. So.
Right. Gotcha. Because before you were at Google, is that correct?
Yes.
Gotcha. So what made the switch from Google to Pinterest? I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah. Well, let's see. There are a lot of reasons. I think trying something new was a big factor for me. I had been working on hardware for 5 years at Google. Mm-hmm. I'd launched probably 8 phones, a couple doorbells, a thermostat, a lot of smart home products. And I really wanted to try something new. And I'd met Andrea, who's my new boss, the CMO of Pinterest, about a year ago, and we were connected with mutual friends, and we just really hit it off. Like, it was absolute chemistry, and that's something I always look for in a boss or someone that I'm going to go work for. And we really hit it off. I met the CEO, Bill, and thought he was amazing. And so just over the course of a year, we talked a lot and talked about what the role could look like and what she was looking for and what I was looking for. And, we made it happen about a year after meeting, and really I've been so happy. Honestly, it's my dream job.
Okay.
I had no idea how much I would love it, and I'm just over the moon. It's just incredible.
I'm excited to break this down too, because I believe, if I'm looking correctly, it was a Super Bowl commercial last year. Lizzo and Real Tone. Was that a Super Bowl commercial?
Yeah.
One of my favorites, if I remember.
Good. Yeah. 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 That was a lot of fun. We did that. Real Tone as a project was so multifaceted. It was the product itself, which an amazing man named Florian at Google, a product marketer, actually, that was kind of his baby. Was for 5 years, he worked with the camera engineers to develop the technology that essentially allowed people of color to show up better in photographs. And so, I owe a lot of credit for all that work to him, because he really led the charge. And I was brought in about a year before Real Tone was publicly launched, to start working on the messaging and how we would do the storytelling and all the different pieces. So we worked with the New York Times on an amazing editorial partnership. We also working with amazing photographers. We also did the Super Bowl commercial. So that was one piece of the puzzle. And we worked with Gut Miami on that work, as well as my internal creative team. And I was deeply involved in. I was, in the edits up until it shipped 10 days before the Super Bowl. We were, tweaking every last frame of that and looking at, all of it. So, yeah.
That's interesting. Like, that was literally probably like a year today.
Yep. I would have probably pitched in LA. Yeah. Yeah. Shipping and getting a final approval and edits and showing the CMO of Google and all of that. So,
yeah. Yeah. So what your title then was, Senior Director in Global ECG at Google. I know we're kind of all over the place with the podcast. Yeah. I definitely want to hover there, because that is relevant, that is timely, and I just fell in love with that piece there.
And I was specifically over devices and services. So there's ECDs at Google that run different big orgs and teams. There's Creative Lab, there's Brand Studio, there was my team, those devices and services, that's still going. And we picked up a lot of awards as devices and services creative when I was running it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you're that was a dream client scenario for any advertising agency. Would love to get a piece of that and help you out with that. One, because of your vision, right? Understand the background, what it takes to be creative and excellent in creativity. But then also, it's just a great product, and you
can't
run with Google. So
yeah. I think that was one of the most wonderful things about working at Google, was the exposure to the incredible talent. I mean, from the photographers that worked with us to agencies, it was just everywhere you looked, it was top tier talent. And so that was an incredible experience. And I was so literally, people say humbled and honored, but I was humbled and honored to do that for as long as I got to do it.
Gotcha. Where can people, what can people listening look up to find that Real Tone campaign? Is it Real Tone? What's the name of it? Like, for people to it, what's that? What's the best way to do it?
Google Pixel 6 or Google Pixel Real Tone. I have a lot of the work on my website, xanthiwells.com. But it can be found under that name. Yeah, Google Pixel and then Real Tone.
I remember it gave me the chills.
I remember
that commercial for sure. And then the other one with the QR code, of course. But
yes.
Those
yes.
two really, really stick out.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay, back to Pinterest. So you've been there for 3 months now.
Yeah.
It was a great opportunity. The people inspired you to come over there. What is the vision now? You've been there for 3 months.
Yeah.
What's the game plan? Are you're still getting everything figured out? I'm sure. It's probably craziness, like it should be. So what's the next step for Pinterest and your role at Pinterest?
I mean, creatively, I'm just about to blow the doors off it.
Heck yeah.
One of the biggest reasons I actually joined Pinterest is that it's one of the most positive and inspiring places online, and it beats out all other social platforms, magazines, even movies. And one of the coolest things I learned was that research shows that 9 out of 10 people think Pinterest is positive, which in today's online world is pretty damn great.
Especially for this industry, advertising, we're talking about the breaking, entering advertising podcast.
Yes.
Every art director has Pinterest.
Yes.
And they do mood boards on it, and they always have a running tab of things and visions and aesthetics. I'm not a creative myself, but I respect what they're doing, and they go to Pinterest for this.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I have a book on my bookshelf that Diane Keaton published a few years ago called The House That Pinterest Built. Mm-hmm. And she felt, you know, she was designing her home in LA, and one of her friends said, you should check out Pinterest. And she did. And she started building board after board after board, and she shows the boards, and then she shows the final result. So it's, you know, I think right now, especially in the current climate of negativity and kind of feeling like this toxic relationship with apps, like Pinterest stands out because you can go there and it's almost a refuge. It's like an oasis in the internet of just positive feelings, positive.
What do you use Pinterest for?
Mostly home decor. Like I'm a classic user. I love thinking about wall colors for my bedroom. I plan my kids' birthday parties on there.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
I feel like elementary school teachers, I know I have some that I'm close with.
Yeah.
Use some of the most creative, they're creatives.
Yeah.
Elementary school teachers. Oh, like, they go to Pinterest and they have the best executions for these crafts.
Yes. I was talking to an AT&T rep of all people, and she said, oh my God, I love Pinterest. I'm on there. I was an elementary school teacher and I did all my projects with Pinterest. I'm like, oh my God, we love you guys. Like,
yes.
Teachers are one of our biggest user base.
Is there a subculture that kind of like you would say is surprisingly on Pinterest that does really cool stuff, or they're really into Pinterest that I might not think of right away?
That's a really good question. Our fastest growing demos on Pinterest are actually men and Gen Z. Mm-hmm. We recently saw that 50 Cent said he loves Pinterest. There was a little video floating around the internet, which might be unexpected to some, but it's actually not an edge case. And I saw that was true in my own life. When I was talking to my boyfriend about taking the job at Pinterest, he jumped in and he's like, oh my God, I love looking at trucks on there. There's really cool kitted out stuff. Like, check it out. I'm like, I didn't realize even. And so it started to open my eyes. And I talked to Andrea, my boss, even before I took the job, about men and specifically marketing to men and reminding them of all the amazing content that's on the platform.
Right.
So we have camping gear. We have outdoor recreation, fandoms, there's wizardry if you're into that.
Sure.
You can make a squirrel bench. You can redesign your Airstream. So anything you can think of, you can find inspiration for it on Pinterest.
I totally agree. I love that. And I'll have to look into that squirrel bench making.
Awesome.
Mine is awesome right now.
Yeah.
I haven't been on in a while, but it's cool. All these old, like, Alan McGilligan ads and like cool old school advertising that it's incredible. Like I'm already getting like sparks of creativity and inspiration from it.
Yay. That's awesome. Do more.
I need to get back on and like,
yeah,
I'm convinced. It remembers from my last.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I love it because it's curated visual search. Mm-hmm. Pinterest uses machine learning, computer vision, and it really enhances the experience and gives you everything you're looking for and more. So we often hear the term rabbit hole. I mean, the Pinterest rabbit hole is real because it's kind of like Legos. You know, on Pinterest, you can connect each idea to the next idea and you build from there. And that's kind of the magic of the platform.
So what are you going to do now? Like, how are you going to get this to more people? What's a big creative idea?
Really say on this podcast, but it's coming out. We're doing stuff very soon, literally.
In a couple of weeks? Because it might be a couple weeks for this to post.
Yeah, it might be in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very, very soon. So I have writers and art directors literally about to show me even more work after this podcast. So
are you thinking like a large campaign launch, like a relaunch? Like what, can you tell us that? Or is it more options?
I could say that we are going to be loud and proud this year of all the wonderful things that make Pinterest what it is.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait. So I'm curious, like, what does your team look like and what are the different roles that you oversee?
Yeah, that's a good question. This is actually the most sort of diverse team I've ever had in terms of background. So I've got everything from performance marketers to email managers. And then, of course, I've got writers, art directors, motion designers, editors. I've even got a couple directors, which is really cool. Some people enter their short films into contests and win. So that's awesome. And I've also got a whole experiential team that does all of our events.
But a lot of the big rocks for Pinterest, like the big campaigns of the year, are done internally. So it's an amazing team. It's like,
or the big idea, do the big ideas usually start internally and then you'll have agencies execute on some of the different platforms? Is that how it works?
I'd say both, honestly. I mean, this last 3 months, it's been really back and forth. Like my internal creative team has been doing an amazing amount of really good strategic foundational thinking, and the agency has as well. And so I've been really a conduit of a lot of it too, to bring the best of the best to the table and make sure both sides are kind of hearing each other and
interesting.
So that's why I love sitting on brand side, because the access to incredible agencies and the access to incredible and creative talent and being at the intersection of that is my favorite spot.
That's the coolest spot ever.
Yeah, I love it. I mean,
because on one hand, you want to have those full-time employees that are working on your brand only, that understand the architecture, that can steer it in the vision for the next 15, 20 years. I don't know if that's how it works, but they understand the brand. And then you'll have the agency they're coming to bring fresh ideas.
Yeah.
That's what they're paid to do. So you get to balance both of those. Hopefully is there animosity within the internal team if a agency idea gets picked, or how does that work? How do you manage that and like those?
Yeah. You know, I don't think creatives by nature, at least that I've worked with, have a lot of animosity. I would say there's a competitiveness. You know, there's a sense of people want to rise to the occasion. And frankly, the better and better each, so to say, side does, the more the other one wants to beat. And so there's a sense of pride and excitement. And, you know, sometimes it can get, precarious, but it's not a good conversation can get usually resolved a lot.
Yeah. Great leadership, I'm sure. So I'm curious now, would you hire a junior level talent role in a marketing advertising role on your Pinterest team? Or is it usually a little bit older, more experienced, that has some agency experience that you want to see transferred into the brand side? Is there such thing as a direct role into brand side for you?
I think there are. And in this team,
I do have, you know, more junior roles than I think I had on my Google team.
Sure.
I think the size of Pinterest lends itself a little bit more because it's not such a behemoth company.
Sure.
That there's more, you can feel a sense of grounding that I think when you're first coming up is so important, that you have a sense of community, that you can kind of feel the earth beneath you. Like it, that I'm not sure is easy to navigate when you're fresh out of school. And some people do really, really well. I mean, Florian, who I mentioned, who did the Realtone, he wasn't exactly a creative. He was more product marketer and strategist, but he, you know, he came out of Google. He came to Google as an intern and rose all the way in 5 or 6 years to doing what he did on Realtone. So yeah, truly blew the doors off. But yeah, I mean, I think it helps sometimes to get to cut your teeth in agencies. I mean, I recommend that more often than not, because sure. I think it also gives you the community when you're young that, you know, you maybe not don't have in corporate America. So
do you have then, like, what would be the account executive counterpart for a Pinterest brand side role?
Yeah.
Like, is that just a brand manager?
Or marketing manager, brand manager. Yeah.
And do you have those?
Yes. Oh yeah, absolutely. They don't report to me though. So okay. I run all creatives, and marketers are run by VPs of marketing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Who are more or less my peers who run their teams. Like there's Pinterest business marketing, there's content marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So who are people like lower level that are communicating with the ad agencies every day to day? Like,
yeah. Yeah. We have a really robust brand team. I was on the call with three of them today, and they're really the main point of contact or DRI with an agency. They're usually the ones who make sure that we've aligned internally on our feedback and notes and get those over and so on and so forth.
But a DRI, what does that mean?
Oh, directly responsible individual. That's what DRI means.
So you have a couple of those people, brand managers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get the lay of the land. Because we have a lot of the agency folks like that are currently at agencies. So I'm asking the questions that people might be afraid to ask. And also I don't know. So.
Yeah.
We do here.
Great.
All right. Which is a good little teaser, because I want to get into your background here, because you weren't always brand side, client side, however you want to call it. You worked at some amazing agencies. So I want to throw it back high level, talk about how you broke into advertising, why you broke into advertising, what was that first agency experience as well?
Yeah. So taking it way back, I was 5 years old and I would just draw ads all the time. I was obsessed. I don't know. I just was drawn to it. I loved TV commercials. I loved ads. I made lipstick ads and nail polish ads, and I would make fake magazines just so I could make ads for each product.
Do you have a favorite ad that sticks out from your childhood?
Oh, I did one I found recently. I think I put it on Instagram, but it was.
Oh, that you made?
Yeah, that I made. I drew when I was like 8 years old. It was soaping bubbles. It was like rainbow bubbles, this product that, anyway.
It's I was the same way.
Were you?
Collages. I would cut them out and make them on posters.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite ads and stuff.
Yeah. No, there we go. I mean, it's just in us early on. So
my parents should have got that out of me real quickly. What are you doing? Don't do that.
No, I'm glad they didn't. Now you're working.
What was their favorite like ad that like a brand had growing up that you recall?
I mean, I liked, this is so weird because I liked Campbell's soup. I liked that it was familiar and comforting, that it was always say good. And I liked that. I don't know. I liked so many ads. I loved the Super Bowl every year. I loved watching all the ads. I mean, I would Friday night, I only got 2 hours of TV a week. My parents were really, really strict. So I couldn't wait for the primetime Friday night ads that I got to watch. And growing up, actually, I was always into art. I drew from the time I was a really little kid. And drawing was kind of my therapy. So I would kind of go into my safe space and draw and draw and draw and draw. And my parents, probably midway through high school, and I was always a really good student. So I always got straight A's, you know, with the exception of a few B's, but I was very, very driven academically. And my dad was a Silicon Valley engineer, like one of the early guys doing this stuff. And so my dad was a scientist, engineer, scientist, and I tried to ape him. I was like, I'm going to be into science. I'm going to go into science because he did, and he's my hero. And good and point. I was, yeah, he was an amazing dad. And they sat me down when I was in high school and said, look, it's obvious you don't love science. Like, it's obvious you love art. And it was a Friday night conversation. I remember it like it was yesterday. We were sitting in a pizza restaurant, which we always go to every week. And they said, you know, if you, we can tell you are really talented at this. And if you want to make money, you have to be the best at it. And you can be the best at anything you want if you're at the top. So you can make money. Money will not be a problem if you're at the top. And I took that literally. And I was like, I have to be the very best at whatever this is in art. I knew abstractly I wanted to go into some sort of art field. And in college, I studied art history because they also said you have to get an undergrad degree. So I went to Brown, studied art history. I spent my junior year at RISD as an exchange student, even though it was across the street, studying illustration. There, I met David Mazzucchelli, who was a famous comic book artist, wrote Batman Year One. And I was like, this is it. Like, I love sequential storytelling. I love comics. And that sent me down a rabbit hole. And that, I think, was the precursor to, you know, TV and storyboards and all the things that that I do now, day in, day out.
Interesting.
But that when I took that class, it really sort of like flipped a switch in my mind because I loved humor. I loved making someone feel something. And I loved what I was learning there. And I'm like,
this might be a first. This might be a first.
Yeah.
This very well could be a first on the show of 150 shows. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
The comic book. So it was a comics class.
Yes. Yep. Comic books. Yeah. And
that's incredible.
Thanks.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Storytelling, comedy, storyboards. Like,
totally.
It works.
And it's ideas. I mean, it's like, you know, I was learning painting and figure drawing and all this, but I was like, what's the point of this? If I get really, really good at drawing a naked body, like, what am I going to do with that? Like, am I going to be the best at drawing naked bodies? Like, I don't know. Michelangelo sort of beat us many, many years ago.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah. So how did you connect the dots then? Like, what comes next when you knew you liked the comics and you, how did you draw that connection to Avatar?
So I'd heard about Pixar and I thought, oh, that's interesting. I like what they're doing. And they had I went to their website and they had an internship, like an email link at the time. So I sent them an email. It was like internships at Pixar. This is back when they were 250 people. I mean, there was like no one working there. And Steve was there.
Okay.
So I emailed and the recipient of my email was a guy named Jonas Rivera, who's now won an Oscar. He's an executive producer there. He's big shot at Disney and Pixar. And he was a production coordinator there at the time. And he was like the guy in charge of finding interns and it was part of his job. And so I happened to reach him and I'd sent a comic that I had drawn, which was kind of dirty. And now, you know, it's not something that you would like send to an internship application these days, but I did.
It was a dirty comic, you're saying.
It was kind of dirty. It was okay. Like implied. It was like a little sexy.
Sure. Cheers for
you. And I found out I got the internship. And so I think it was in June of my junior year, I left Brown, went back to San Francisco and worked at Pixar for a summer, which changed my whole world. I mean,
that
doors off everything.
That's amazing. What'd you do there? Like, did you work on any big movies that we might know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I started in the archive. So I was archiving John Lasseter's drawings and putting them, you know, on tracing paper between carefully archival, some kind of cool paper they had me in boxes and labeling them. And then I did move out of the archive into the art department. So working as like a mini PA on Finding Nemo. So I'm actually listed in the credits of Finding Nemo because I went back after graduation and worked at Pixar for a year.
Wow.
So it was like, I mean, I was in heaven. The animator pit at the time was filled with toys. There were all these crazy people around. People were really nice. They took care of employees. And I remember when I was really, you know, I was 19, 20 years old, maybe 21, I guess, when I graduated. And it was Michael Eisner was there for a meeting. And this woman named Sarah MacArthur. And Sarah stopped to thank me on the way out of this huge, big Disney exec meeting. And she was so kind. She stopped me and like, I was like literally on the floor pinning boards, getting ready for, you know, the next meeting. And she just thanked me for my time. And I was like, wow, this company is so nice. And these big shots like are actually nice people. So it just gave me the sense that you could be creative and happy and, you know, make money and provide for your family and do something you were proud of.
You got the taste. You knew exactly you were in the right spot, uplifted. You were in a hot environment. It was a great experience.
Yeah.
There are people today.
Yeah.
That around my age.
Yeah.
That got into their industry and then laid off or they didn't get in yet. And it's tough. You know, right now, today.
Yes.
It's not as easy.
No.
And like I myself even get a little like we've seen layoffs everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, is my job safe? And there's a lot of like doubt right now.
Yes.
So I'm definitely envious of that. And I also want to comment, Michael Eisner was the former chairman and chief executive officer at Walt Disney. So that's like the biggest you can get, right?
Yeah, it was a big deal that he was in that room that day.
Did you know you were in the presence of like the boss?
Oh yeah. I mean, we saw.
He's 6'3" too, so you had to see him.
Yeah, he was very very tall, very tall guy.
Who was the girl?
It was Sarah MacArthur. I don't know if she's still there.
What's her role? What was her role?
I think she was CFO of Pixar then. I could be totally wrong. She was definitely C-suite that back then.
Gotcha. Incredible. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that having that foundational experience, I'm sure, was just incredible. Like your confidence was built and you probably thought you did it. Like you figured a way to like do what you love, which is art. You didn't go the science route and your parents were really proud. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I still had to break in advertising, though. So that was and I actually said, you know, that was not a leg up or a leg in or any of the other things.
Yeah. Why would you want to leave this picture?
I'm stupid sometimes. I left Pixar to go back to school to be an animator. So I realized I was working in the art department and my drawings weren't good enough. So I was like, I'm going to go back to school, go to Art Center, and then someday go back to Pixar. So I had this path of Pixar. I wanted to, you know, do character design, production design, and when I was at Art Center, I fell in love with advertising. And that was where I was doing the basics. I was back to figure drawing and painting. And I'm like, there's no idea here that I can find. So I wasn't mentally, it just wasn't stimulating enough for me to just do illustration. And I also saw advertising as a social job and collaborative. So that's where I started to go that direction.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What was the school called?
I went to Art Center College of Design in Pasadena.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I graduated from there. I was hired by this guy named Court Crandall, actually it's kind of an interesting story. I had a teacher at Art Center who will remain nameless, but it was really awful to me and really, really mean. And he would like rip my stuff off the wall and say, you should never write again. You're a terrible writer or you're a terrible art director. And like really kind of abusive. And
was this person's name?
Oh, I won't say, but
I'm trying.
He put in a really good word for me. And it was kind of one of those spin your head around like, really? I thought the guy hated me. And it turned out he thought I was really talented and he was just pushing me.
Wow. It's like whiplash.
Whiplash. And Court, I actually, Court Crandall ran an agency called Ground Zero, which is no longer around. And I, at the time, I was obsessed with, you know, all the annuals, like One Show and Communication Arts. And I really wanted to work at Goodby in San Francisco. Like I had my heart set on Goodby.
Good one.
they were doing HP at the time. There were all these amazing creatives there. And they offered me an internship on Elizabeth Arden. And I wanted to take it because I wanted to work at Good Beep, but then I didn't want to work on beauty. Like, I knew if I was a woman and I started my first job on beauty, that I would have to climb out of that hole.
Gotcha.
And I'm really afraid of taking that role. So actually, Court Crandall convinced me. He said, look, you can come work at Ground Zero. I'll give you a job on X Games, on ESPN X Games. And you can do that, and that'll be your first job. I'm not going to pay you very much.
No.
Pay you, like, at all, anything at all. I mean, I think I made $1,500 for two months of work. But then I went full time. But
2 months of work?
For 2 months of work. Yeah, I mean, no joke. Like, I could barely eat.
Why would you? And you probably said no, right?
Well, he had to convince me only because I had my heart set on Goodby. And he's like, look, you're going to be an intern on a beauty brand. I'm like, yeah, I just don't to think that's the right move. He's like, he was right. He said, if you come work for me, I will shave 10 years off your career on the back end.
People don't understand this concept.
Got it.
And it worries me.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. Like, yeah. Why would that save you time? Like, you got into a great client, right?
Well, yeah.
What does this mean? Like, what's the lesson here? How can we teach kids, like, your first client does matter. The people you work with does matter.
It really does matter. And working on ESPN as my first client out of school gave my book, it's just a cachet. Like, I had a blue chip brand in my portfolio that had done, and I did produced work.
Right.
For it. And we actually, I did a campaign for X Games and I did a campaign for bowling. And we were awarded in one show, I think merits or something, for the bowling campaign. So I all of a sudden I had a suite of, after 2 years, I had a suite of work that was conceptual, that was smart. And what Court was also implying, and he was totally right, is that he was such a good creative director, mm-hmm. that he wasn't going to let, almost, it was like, he wasn't going to let me fail. Like, there was no way an idea was going to go out of his agency that he didn't think was great.
Right.
So I had this incredible insurance policy in some way that, yeah, I was paid terribly, but didn't matter because 2 years later, sure enough, Shiat Day looks at me and says, okay, you've got a decent portfolio, like, want a job on PlayStation. And so it really, that brand and the hit, Court was amazing. Court was an incredible leader. He was fair. He treated everyone incredibly well. He was nice. Brilliant. Like, he just had all the ingredients also for me to model after, like, to have set the tone for not only the kind of people I want to work for, but also the kind of leader someday I want to be.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I think the people and the brand are really, really important. Like,
right.
Important things.
So important. And it worries me that people don't understand that. They want, a lot of people will go for the name.
No.
See.
Yeah.
I can see how somebody early in their
their
job search process will get distracted by that.
Yeah.
But if you're doing coupon ads for a crappy brand that nobody really knows or cares about or likes at a big name agency, like, you're getting hired for your portfolio for the most part.
Right. Right.
Well, it's not going to be. It might take you 3 years at this big agency to get to a point where you're producing good work. And that's going to set you back.
100%. And they don't ever really look at where, like, an agency. Okay, great. Someone worked at RGA. Okay, what did they do at RGA? Like, what was the work they did? You know, and often it can be a disappointment. Like, a great agency, and they've done, like, oh, okay, that's amazing.
And you're probably, if you see an RGA, TBWA, or Havas, because you're going to be like, you're going to be looking, all right, you have higher expectations now for their creative work.
Exactly.
And if it doesn't come up to that standard now, you could put yourself at a disadvantage.
But then I think that's why there's room for people who also figure out how to market themselves. And I think that's the, you know, in some ways, the intent of your podcast is really, so I'd love to talk about that. Like, the things that stand out, the things that work. I mean, now I've been doing this 20 years this year and I've seen everything, you know, I've seen every range of intro email, you know, thing that's been lobbed over to me, and there's a few key things that I think are really anyone yes. can do. You know,
let's hear them.
Okay, make me laugh. Write an email. My favorite ever email was a guy named Jake Matthews, who is an amazing creative. He wrote me an email when I was at Pitch. I was CCO of a small agency in LA called Pitch. And he wrote me this email that was three lines. It was, "Hi, Xanthi. I'm a copywriter named Jake. I like to make love to words all day. I'd like to make love to them in your office. Love, Jake." And I'm like, you got me. Like, it just took some major balls to do that. And he did it, sent it to me. And I asked him to come in for an interview because it was just hilarious. Like, he made me laugh. It was just
very symbolic, or it probably threw you back to that dirty comic you made that got you the intern job at Pixar.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. Yeah.
There's some parallels there.
Yeah. And I love that. And it was just also, he's a headline writer, right? Like, mm-hmm. he got my attention. Like, yeah. You know, and maybe I'm sure he wrote it better than what I'm paraphrasing. So sorry yeah. if you're listening. But I think that's really important. I think knowing something about the person you're writing to, like, I get so many copy and paste emails on LinkedIn where I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting the same email that every other ECD is getting. You know,
yeah, I just changed the name.
I like water skiing. I also worked at this agency. And then I'm sending you my book. It's like, oh my God, like what? Like why me? Like why Pinterest or why Google in the past or what, you know, mm-hmm. what about you and me would make amazing creative chemistry and what, where do you see the opportunity? What makes you uniquely special? Like, I think specialists are more important than generalists. You know, sometimes when people are like, well, I do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I'm like, what are you really good at?
No. Yeah. I always tell people, if you want to be, know what you want when you're coming out of school, you want it, or wherever you're at, yeah. you want to be a copywriter, you better be really good at copywriting. You better tell people you only want to be a copywriter.
Yes.
It's so much better than I could do a little bit of everything. I don't know. Yeah. I'm pretty good at art and I'm good at writing. That tells me you're good at nothing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think also just introducing yourself in real life to people who, you know, stay after. I've made so many connections that I made or people that I wanted to hire have come from meeting them in real life, you know, after a panel or at a speaking engagement, or someone comes up and says, hey, I saw you're here. Like, I wanted to say hi. Like that always matters. So yeah, but be as good at marketing yourself as you are with your own work. I'd love to see more of that. And I think I'd love people also to take another look at the bio page on everyone's website. They're all sort of sounding the same. It's like kind of quirky, kind of funny. Like, can we do better? And I saw one recently that was really, really good. And I'm forgetting whose it was, but maybe by the end of this, I'll think of it.
That's the first place I go to on a portfolio. Yeah, I like to go to them about them. And then I look at the work.
But, yeah.
Well, I like to just see real quick, like, what are we dealing with here?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that bio is important.
Yeah.
If you're a copywriter, that's a whole, like, but the problem, like, people have a hard time marketing themselves.
Yes.
Like, they're not, and some people are not in this game.
Yeah.
The funniest copywriter I know.
Yeah.
Ben Havas right now. And I can't get him in any trade publications. I can't get him famous. He doesn't want the attention. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to write about him. He's not here for himself. He's not here for the brands.
And and that's really, really important. And I don't think I think people are way too focused on being a brand right now. Like, I think that I like that. I want to meet that guy. I mean, that's really, you should be all about the work. I think it's more, when I say market yourself, I'm talking creatively without being a like showman or trying to be.
You don't have to be super out about it, but when people find you and they're like, you should be able to clearly convey who you are and what type of creative prowess you bring to the table.
Yeah. And I love, there's a guy named Andy Pearson who I'm following on LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah. He's been on the pod.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't listened to his episode yet, but
he's fantastic.
I love it. Like, I love his photo with his half-shaved beard and his, you know, and then everything he posts is like funny and interesting and
It's like he is marketing himself without being, you know, he doesn't look like he's trying to do it. You know,
he's he's been on everything, every podcast, and like people love him because he's himself. He's so authentic.
Yeah.
He works for a brand that's completely aligned with his value, like what he's all about. It's just like he hit like the jackpot, much like yourself at Pinterest, it seems like right now. Yeah.
I love it here. It feels like the dream job for me. So all my friends told me to take it before I knew myself. You know, they were like, that's the perfect brand for you. Take that job. I'm like, okay.
It's a good brand.
What?
It's such a great brand. Like, it's just positivity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what you do. And and I want to follow and follow along with all your large announcements and launches and, you know, in the world, which I'm sure you will do.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted. I'll send you stuff. So, cool.
So if people want to reach out to you, if they have questions, want to learn about Pinterest, they want to send you a fun headline, only if they're going to do a fun email that we talked about. How could they reach out to you? Do you want me to filter them too? I can also filter people and like connect with me first. How do you want to go about this?
No, we have an alias actually. It's called and it's hellocreativeteam@pinterest.com. So people are welcome to send portfolios, bios, funny intro letters. And we are always looking for great talent. So freelance, contractor, full-time. I'm just building up my database and here at Pinterest. So
I'm sure you got a lot to do. So I appreciate you coming on. Your journey and your advice and Pinterest and the future. It's been really, really great.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. I love your show. So really
thank you. I appreciate you.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to this entire episode of the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. If you like what you heard, it would mean a lot to us and help us grow and get better guests and better break-ins if you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us 5 stars and a small review if you have the time. Be sure to connect with our guests if you like what they said by going to our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod. That's all one word, Breaking and Entering Pod on Instagram. We have links to their portfolios and their LinkedIn, and they want to connect, so do that. And thank yous. Thank you to Mikey Malarkey, our audio engineer, and Bujun Jung, our creative director. Can't do without you two, and a team from the University of Illinois. It's a student team from the agency called AdBuzz. They're a PR agency, and it's been a pleasure working with them. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next week with another amazing guest.